Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, entitled Creation of the Kumaras and Others, Text 14. Translation by Asa Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All the different varieties of fire sacrifices, Sadashi, Ukta, Purishi, Agnishtoma, Aptoyama, Atiratra, Vajapaya, and Goshava became manifested from the eastern mouth of Brahma. So I'll read the next translation of purport. Vijadanam tapasacham dhamasyati padanicha ashrama ashramams chayata sankhyam asrijat saha vritibhi. Translation. Education, charity, penance, and truth are said to be the four legs of religion. And to learn this, there are four orders of life with different classifications of castes according to vocation. Brahma created all these in systematic order. Please repeat. Education. Charity. Penance. And truth are said to be the four legs of religion. And to learn this, there are four orders of life with different classifications of castes according to vocation. Brahma created all these in systematic order. Purport. The nucleus of the four social orders, brahmacharya or student life, grihastha or household family life, vanaprastha or retired life or practicing penance, and sannyas or renounced life or preaching the truth, is the four legs of religion. The vocational divisions are the brahmanas or the intelligent class, the kshatriyas or administrative class, the Vaishyas, or mercantile productive class, and the Sudras, or general labourer class, who have no specific qualifications. All were systematically planned and created by Brahma for the regular promotion of self-realisation. Student life is meant for acquiring the best education. Household family life is meant for gratifying the senses, provided it is performed with a charitable disposition of mind. Retirement from household life is meant for penance, for advancement in spiritual life, and renounced life is meant for preaching the absolute truth to the people in general. The combined actions of all members of society make the whole situation favorable for the upliftment of the mission of human life. The beginning of this social institution is based on education meant for purifying the animal propensities of the human being. The highest purificatory process is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the purest of the pure. Translation. Education, charity, penance, and truth are said to be the four legs of religion. And to learn this, there are four orders of life with different classifications of castes according to vocation. Brahma created all these in systematic order. Om Agyana Tumandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Chakshuk Mulatam Jena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Nasa Prasya Badrishma Nichyam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Vittam Slaki Bhakti Vavati Naistaki Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Langa Tekarim Yat Kripa Tam Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam. So Hare Krishna, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be here in your association. and by the mercy of Krishna, we can do a little service and say something that is beneficial for everyone. So I'd love to offer my respectful obeisances. Vanchakapuru Visha, Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha, Petita Nam Bhavani Guru Vaisna Vyona Mool Maha. So here we're hearing how Lord Brahma created everything in the universe. Of course, under the jurisdiction of Krishna. Now, in the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was bewildered what to do. But he heard the sound from Krishna's flute, tapa, tapa, perform austerities. So he performed austerities for a very long time, and he was gifted from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the ability to create everything necessary for the goings-on of this universe. And ultimately, as we see in this verse here, even Lord Brahma, he created this system of the four varnas and ashrams. And as Srila Prabhupada says in one of his purports, this system is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of Krishna. So ultimately, this is the goal of all the different varnas and ashrams, is to bring people out of the modes of material nature to the transcendental platform of engaging in loving service to Krishna, reviving our eternal loving relationship to Krishna. So in the Vedic culture, which was very prevalent 5,000 years ago when Krishna was on the planet, we read that even the Sudras and those of lower caste, like even the prostitutes, they were devotees of Krishna. Everyone practically was engaged in service to Krishna and remembering Krishna throughout their lives and engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Even like Srila Prabhupada says 50 years ago in India, it was very commonplace for families to regularly recite the Bhagavatam or the Ramayana or the Mahabharata every morning and night. And now that's become somewhat lost even in India, but it's possible that that system can be restored. So this age-old system of the Vedic culture, even to a recent time in Kali Yuga, was there quite prominently even in India. And Srila Prabhupada said even India, although they've tried to imitate the West, still the remnants of the Vedic, great Vedic civilization and this process of Krishna consciousness is there. Like Srila Prabhupada said, for any Indian, just have to scratch the skin and underneath is Krishna consciousness. Very easily they can take to Krishna consciousness even if they've forgotten. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Vanyam Maya Srishtam Guna Kama Vibhagasham, that according to the three modes and the work associated with them, I've created this system of Varnashram Dharma. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that human society is similar to any animal society. But to elevate men from the animal status, the above-mentioned divisions are created by the Lord for systematic development of Krishna consciousness. And the beauty about this system is that even those who have no previous spiritual training or those in the lower varnas, even sudras, even those less than sudras can be elevated to Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada said, he said that previously my disciples were drug addicted, hippies, meat eaters, sex mongers, but by taking to Krishna consciousness, following this bona fide process of devotional service, beginning with hearing the holy name, chanting the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even the lowest of the low in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada said, now they're looking like they're Vaikuntha men and ladies coming from the spiritual world, very happy, pure-hearted, full of all good qualities, dressed in saris and dhotis, and enthusiastically rendering devotional service and preaching Krishna consciousness. This is the transformation. This is stated in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Yata Kanchana Tamyati, Kamsam Rasavidanata, that as an expert alchemist can transform base metal into gold by mixing it with mercury in an alchemical process, so the bona fide spiritual master can transform even an iron-like conditioned soul into a golden-hearted pure devotee. So the goal of all these ashrams is to remember Krishna, to please Krishna, to come to the platform of constantly engaging in Krishna's service. In the Bhagavatam states, Sita Pumbhya Dvija Svishta Vana Shama Vibhagasha Svanushtistasha Dhamasha Samsiddhi Haritoshanam Samsiddhi Haritoshanam. The perfection, Samsiddhi Haritoshanam, is to please Krishna. So according to the best among the twice born, the highest perfection one can achieve by performing one's prescribed occupation according to the caste divisions and the orders of life is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So ultimately, the goal of everyone, no matter what vana or ashram they're situated in, is to please Krishna and always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada states in the beginning of his purport here that the nucleus of the four social orders, the four ashrams, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas, is the four legs of religion. In the translation it states that education, charity, penance and truth are said to be the four legs of religion. So basically this spiritual social system is aimed at protecting the four legs of religion. In Kali Yuga, people commit sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, and these are destroying the four legs of religion, education, charity, penance, or truth. Or sometimes we hear, Prabhupada says, cleanliness, compassion, austerity, and truthfulness. So the brahmacharis, they're meant for education. So we can say this is another way of stating cleanliness. The brahmacharis are meant to be very pure-hearted, clean externally and internally. And cleanliness is destroyed by illicit sex. So one of the first symptoms of the brahmacharya is to avoid all sex life. Be completely free from this attachment for the opposite sex. In the Bhagavatam it states, tapasa brahmacharya na samena cha damena cha chagena satcha sochabhyam yamena niyamenava. To concentrate the mind in Krishna consciousness on the lotus feet of Krishna, one has to practice celibacy and not fall down. One has to be truthful, non-violent, clean, follow the regulative principles and always chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The householders are meant for, here it's stated, Srila Prabhupada says, for charity. The householder is a facility for restricted or regulated sense gratification. But Srila Prabhupada said, provided it is performed with a charitable disposition of mind. So the grihasthas are meant to give charity to the renounced orders and facilitate their service. They're like the other renounced orders are like meant to be like seen as the children of the grihasthas. The grihasthas are meant to help maintain all the different ashrams, the renounced ashrams. And also the grihasthas should have a charitable disposition of compassion for other living entities also. Of course, all ashrams and varnas should have this charitable disposition. Srila Prabhupada is stating here that this is one of the duties, prime duties of the grihasthas. They have a regulated license for some sense gratification, but only if performed with a charitable disposition of mind. So charity or compassion. And compassion is, as Srila Prabhupada says, is destroyed by meat eating, killing innocent animals. Or no, killing even human beings, as we see in the modern day and age, this is very prevalent in abortion and different wars. So, spreading Krishna consciousness through this Sangatan movement, book distribution, Harinam, Sangatan, Prasadam distribution, is the best way for spreading this charitable disposition of mind, compassion, having compassion on others. Penance, this is meant specifically for those in the retired life or the vanaprastas. Penance or austerity, which is made favorable by avoiding intoxication. It's destroyed by intoxication. And truth, Prabhupada says, those in the renounced order, the sannyasis, are meant for preaching the absolute truth. And truth, as we understand, is destroyed by gambling or wasting one's life outside of Krishna consciousness. So these are considered the four legs of religion. And modern day society is very much bent on destroying these legs of religion, so much so that practically the four legs of the bull are almost completely destroyed. And the bull, as we hear in the story of the first canto, of the bull and the cow, and Kali trying to destroy the legs of the bull and the cow, the bull is tottering on one leg, and that is the leg of truthfulness. So even though these legs of religion are practically destroyed in Kali Yuga, people still have some ability to hear the truth, hear the absolute truth. But that is also being very quickly destroyed with the progress of Kali Yuga. But still, there's a chance for people to hear the absolute truth, take interest in the higher truths of spiritual life, and make a perfection to their life, coming back to their original state of pure Krishna consciousness. But we can see that without people taking to Krishna consciousness and following these legs of religion, then the result is that no one in materialistic society is happy. No one knows what the goal of life is. And everyone is working for temporary, illusory results. And people don't even know or care what is beyond this life. You can practically ask anyone on the street, you know, who are you? They'll just identify with the body. Well, I'm a black man, I'm a white man, I'm young, old, I'm Chinese, Australian. What is your goal of life? A lot of them will say there is no goal, or the goal is to enjoy my senses. And where do you go beyond this life? That they have no clue. So, na te vidu svatam gatim hi vishnum, durasha yehi bahi atamanina. Andaya tandai upanimanas tipisitantram uri damnibadha. They do not know that the goal of life is to become fully Krishna conscious and return back home, back to the spiritual world, and engage in loving service to Krishna. And they're just blind leaders leading the blind followers, and the result is they're falling into the ditch of ignorance, and they're tightly bound by the cords of the modes of material nature. They're thinking they're free to do whatever they like, but they're not understanding there's a reaction for every activity they're performing. Just like Prabhupada says, the dog on the chain, he's thinking he can bark at all the cars passing by. But at any moment, the master can pull the chain. The dog is completely controlled. So people are thinking they're completely free, but actually they're tightly bound by the modes of material nature. And the more they engage in sinful and materialistic activities, the more they're bound up by the karmic reactions to their activities. and a very hellish future. So we have a very big responsibility to save people from suffering in this life and going to a hellish existence in the next, by trying to spread this Krishna consciousness, this process of Varnashram Dham, the different Varnas and Ashrams, and trying to engage people according to their propensities in the different Varnas and Ashrams, like we see with the whole community of devotees here. We're not all sannyasis, we're not all grihasthas or brahmacharis, we're in different ashrams, and also our vocations. Not everyone's a brahmana, some are kshatriyas, some are vaishyas, some are sudras. But the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that even if you're a sudra is your vocation, you're just doing hard work, labouring work, you can be elevated to the topmost position of pure love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, kibha vipra kibha nyasi sudra kena nai. Yea, Krishna tattva veta se guru hai. Whether one is a vipra, a learned person, a sannyas, or even a sudra, if he knows the absolute truth, he can be accepted as a spiritual teacher. He can be accepted as like a spiritual master to impart this knowledge to others. So anyone out there, even in the non-devotee society, can also be engaged in these different varnas and ashrams for gradual progress to the platform of pure love for Krishna, prema pamata mahan, the topmost goal of life. Even though they're coming from the lowest to the low, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the patita pavana, the savior of the most fallen in Kali Yuga. We've all come from this platform, being that very, very fallen conditioned souls. One devotee, Prabhupada disciple Gauri Devi Dasi, once said that 99% of the people she met on book distribution couldn't be any further away from Krishna consciousness if they tried. So as Srila Prabhupada said, this civilization is a misdirected civilization of polished cats and dogs. Simply the same mentality as there. The dogs are running on their four legs, where is food, where is sex life, and the human beings are doing the same activities, but just in a car on four wheels. Gandhi was once asked, what do you think about Western civilization? He said, it would be a nice idea. So there's actually no civilization there, just animal society. And we see that it's Kali Yuga is progressing very quickly, and it's getting worse and worse. The last century, more people died in the last century, three times more people died in the last century from war, crime and violence than all the 20 centuries back to Christ. And billions of animals killed, rampant intoxication, illicit sex. There's so many problems. Kaleya Dosho Nedhera Jan Astihekan Mahadgana. Kali Yuga is Kaleya Dosho Nedhera Jan. It's an ocean of faults. Astihekan Mahadgana. But there's one great quality. Kirtanare the Krishna Shah. By chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukta Sangha Paramvajet. We can be promoted to the platform of pure love for Krishna and going back to the spiritual world. So there's no loss, even if the situation is very horrible in Kali Yuga. Still there's great hope with this Krishna consciousness movement, and thousands of people are getting the benefit. Just like many people are joining and taking part in this movement. And also many people out there that may have not joined, but they've had a lot of contact. They've met devotees, had association, they've taken lots of prasadam. They've got the books, they've seen the chanting in the street. So much purification is there. And in the sixth canto it states, in relation to Arjamil, Sankircham Parayasyam Vastovam Helanam Evava. Vaikuntha Namagrahanam Ashishagam Haramvadu, that even if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra jokingly or for musical entertainment or derisively or neglectfully, he's free from unlimited sinful reactions. What to speak of if we can chant Hare Krishna and perform devotional service with a pure heart, free from any material motivations, only desiring to to please Guru and Krishna and to spread their glories. And Srila Prabhupada said, if 1% of the world become devotees, the situation in the world will change. So we're gradually, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, we're working towards that. And we see that, you know, many thousands of people, their mentality is changing. Even people, you know, on sub-religious principles, they're starting to think more about the health, vegetarianism, veganism, gluten-free, raw food. They're thinking more about their health and their habits like this gradually. You know, people quit smoking and different things like this. And people, you know, there's also a wave of, you know, people becoming more interested in spiritual values, becoming inquisitive, what's it all about, searching for the truth, for the meaning of life. Interested in, you know, things like karma and reincarnation, and meditation, yoga. Yoga meditation has become very, very big. Of course, people just have to be guided by the bona fide spiritual teachers to take up the right path of yoga, bhakti yoga, the topmost yoga. And in this way, gradually the misguided civilization can be directed towards the right path. Tadvag vishago janatago viplavo yasmin pratislokam abhadyabhadyapi. On the other hand, that literature which glorifies the name, form, quality and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is a transcendental creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So Srila Prabhupada, being very humble, he said, there may be, you know, grammatical imperfections in our books, but still, the honest men, they will see this sincere message and this pure message in these transcendental literatures, the transcendental benefit of this literature, that they can be elevated to the topmost platform, make a solution to the problems of life, birth, death, old age and disease, and all misconceptions of life, and get out of this world in one short lifetime. And Srila Prabhupada would say, go back home, back to Godhead. This world is not a fit place for a gentleman. It's like a stool house. You do your business, you get out. So we have to encourage people that, no, this is not their real home. They can't stay here forever. And as devotees, we shouldn't be in such illusion that, well, I'm a devotee, you know, I can live forever, or I can live a long life, or I can live even a healthy life. We don't know, even as devotees or aspiring devotees. No, devotee is a very elevated term. Prabhupada said we're aspiring to be a devotee. Whether we will have a long, healthy life. Many devotees we've seen have left this world untimely, so-called untimely. Of course, Krishna had his hand in their leaving. Even many of our sannyasis, gurus, have left, you know, 50, 60. So there's no guarantee. Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to live. He was guaranteed 7 days. So he fully immersed himself in just hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. But Srila Prabhupada says we don't know if we have seven minutes or 7 seconds or 7 days. So therefore, while we have this chance, we should fully immerse ourselves in 24/7 engaging in loving service to Krishna, in whatever ashram or vana we're situated in. And as Srila Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture this morning by Prabhupada, he was quoting Chanika Pandit, that he said, the great thinkers, they pick up the best from the worst. He was quoting this sloka that one takes nectar from a pot of poison, or gold from a filthy place, or one accepts a wife from a low-class family, or takes a good lesson from an uneducated person. sometimes even people, you know, non-devotees, they can teach us, they have something to, some knowledge they can give to us and we can learn. Or even a new devotee, sometimes they have some realization that even an older devotee can learn from. So similarly, even we've come from a very horrible situation with no understanding of Krishna consciousness, still we can be picked up and elevated to the topmost platform of Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada said, the rejected youths of the West, they're like a gourd in the street, like an empty pumpkin shell. Sometimes they get an empty pumpkin shell and there's a stick and there's some wire lying about and they put it all together and produce a nice instrument like a veena. And so similarly, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, he's picking up the Western rejected youths off the street and combining them with the process of chanting the holy names and taking prasadam, associating with devotees and worshipping the deities. And in this way, these rejected youths have become very elevated souls in this Krishna consciousness movement. And also for those born in India, Srila Prabhupada quite often would quote this verse, Bharata Bhumate Manusha Halya Yara Janma Sataka Kari Pada Upakara. Whoever has taken his birth in the land of Bharadvas should make his life perfect and preach this Krishna consciousness to others. So Prabhupada said, it's the duty of all those born in India to make a serious study of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and preach this Krishna consciousness for the benefit of everyone in the world. And he said that this is the only real duty of India, to spread this wonderful message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So you have, all of you have a very big responsibility, especially those coming from India. Now you're spreading all around the world, coming to these countries. So you can greatly assist the local devotees and Srila Prabhupada's movement in spreading Krishna consciousness and in trying to establish this varna and ashram, and at least in our own society here, and spreading it to the society out there. And in this way, we can be very fortunate. We don't realize our good fortune of being in Krishna consciousness. How either, you know, we can be fully Krishna conscious in this life and either at the end of the life go back to the spiritual world, or at least take birth in the family of devotees. No, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Bhajayate, that those who are, haven't reached perfection after short practice of yoga, they fall down, but they take birth in the family of rich aristocratic people. And those who are unsuccessful after practicing long practice of yoga, then they take birth in the family of transcendentalists. Srila Prabhupada says, such was the fortune of myself, taking birth in the family of devotees. So if we just stick to Krishna consciousness, if we don't go back to the spiritual world, we're guaranteed that we'll take birth in the family of devotees and have a very good opportunity for the next life. So we have this very high process, very pure, very quick process to elevate the conditioned soul to the topmost platform. We can be directly in touch with Krishna constantly through his holy names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Krishna's Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, is not influenced by the modes of material nature. It's all pure, all good, and Krishna's absolute, so he's non-different from his name, his pastimes, his qualities. So we can be in direct union with the Lord through his names, through his pastimes, through his transcendental forms, the deity forms. Just like there was one story, there was one man, he got to go and see the president in America. And he went into the president's office and the president had two phones on his desk. There was a red phone and there was a gold phone. And he was asking, so what's the red phone? And the president said, that's to ring the president of Russia. And then he said, so what's the gold fan? Well, that's the direct line to God. And the man said, well, can I use that? And the president said, well, that's very expensive. No, long distance call. So the man said, well, I don't think I can use that. I won't be able to afford it. So then he went and met the president of Russia in Moscow. The same thing. The gold phone, long distance call. No, I can't afford that. Okay. And then he went to Israel, and he met some of the rabbis over there, and the head rabbi also had a red phone and a gold phone. And he said, oh, go ahead, you can use the gold phone, direct line to God. Really? Yeah, but it's a long distance call. I don't think I can afford that. And then the man, somehow by his good fortune, he came to Vrindavan. Or, you know, maybe he came to Melbourne Mahabhuman Mandir, which is not different from Vrindavan. And he met the temple president, and the temple president also had a gold phone on his desk. And the man said, oh, what is that? Oh, it's a direct line to God. Go ahead, you can use it. Really? Yes, it's a local call. So we have, you know, the topmost process. All other processes are like, you know, trying to scratch your nose going around like that. But this process of Krishna consciousness is just going like that, or climbing the mountain, going up the chairlift. Other processes are very slow. It's like going around and around the mountain without catching the chairlift, just walking, you'll never get there. So it's a very very elevated, very quick process. So we can all, anyone, no matter from what background, can take benefit of this process and achieve the highest perfection in a short period of time. And Krishna gives us the guarantee, Sarvadharmam Parichitam Mamikam Sharanam Vraja. Aham tam sarva papi abhyo moksha yishami masu chaha. Just abandon all varieties of religion to surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. We don't have to fear. We just abandon all misconceptions of life and bogus paths of life and just surrender to Guru and Krishna. Our perfection is guaranteed. And at the same time, as practicing our Krishna consciousness according to our different varnas and ashrams, we have to have this mood of compassion. This is the Sangatan mood. The Sangatan movement is the mood of compassion. Not just being comfortable in our temples or in our farms. You can easily forget about Kali Yuga, right? Just sitting here, it's like transcendental atmosphere with the topmost personalities in the universe here, the topmost process. It's a replica of Vrindavan and Mayapur. And you can easily forget what's going on out there, that it's a hellish situation out there, a desperate situation in Kali Yuga. Unless you go out there and have compassion and meet people on the street and see how misdirected and how crazy they are and how much they're engaged in horrible sinful activities. So we have to have this mood of compassion and friendship for the fallen conditioned souls. We were just very much fallen and conditioned like them just a few seconds ago. Somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we're here in this very fortunate situation. So now we have to give this mercy to others. Just like I'll tell a story of Tamal Krishnaraj. Once he was on an aeroplane and he sat down to this man, next to this man, and he had all this nice prasadam the devotees from the temple had packed for him. And he thought, no, I should share this nice prasadam with this man. So he was sharing the prasadam and the man was really relishing it. And he noticed the man didn't have his seatbelt on. And the man told him the story that years ago in somewhere Chicago or something, there was a big air crash. And he was in that plane and practically every single person in the plane died except for him. Because every other person had their seatbelt on and he didn't have his seatbelt on. And the plane cracked in two. And he was like ejected from the plane, thrown out, and he survived. Don't know how it happened, very mystical, but Anyway, so he wound up and he was next to Tamal Krishnaraj on the plane. So he told this story to Tamal Krishnaraj. And meanwhile, Tamal Krishnaraj was feeding him more and more prasad. The man was saying, thank you very much. It's such nice food. And then when they got to their destination, they parted company. And anyway, years later, the devotees in San Diego with, what's his name? He's just taking sannyas. From San Diego, he was Bhadri Narayan Maharaj, yeah. So he was like, I think he was the temple president at the time. And they were trying, at that time, they were trying to get a new situation, new temple. And they were approaching different real estates. And they were just wearing plain clothes, and they even had wigs on. Because they thought if people find out we're Hare Krishna, probably a lot of them, they're not going to want us, they want to give us a place for renting. So and they went along to this real estate and they were speaking to this man, and the man said, well, actually, I'm only going to give this place to Hare Krishnas. And the devotee said, we are the Hare Krishnas. And they pulled off their wigs and we are the Hare Krishnas. And the man said, well, the reason I'll give to you is because, you know, I met one of your leaders years ago on the aeroplane, and he was very kind to me, and he shared some of his food with me, and that really, you know, touched my heart. So that way he became very, very favourable. So it's a very nice story how if we're very kind to people and give them the mercy of prasadam and the holy name and books, then people can be completely transformed. So we should all have this mood of preaching. I'm just here with Navina for a few days. We're just trying to do it a little bit just to encourage all of you. Try and go out and spread this Krishna consciousness, to try and establish Krishna consciousness more in the general society. Give people the chance of reuniting with their topmost lover, Krishna, making solution to all their problems. So we have to have full faith in these wonderful weapons of Krishna consciousness, in the power of Srila Prabhupada's books, the power of the holy name, that the holy name and these translated literatures are non-different from Krishna. And we're just the little instrument. And if we just know, if we're just very enthusiastic and work hard and we're patient and tolerant and nice to people, then these wonderful transcendental literatures will go out. Krishna will make all arrangements for people to take these books and to be attracted to the holy name. So we may think, well, I can't do it. I've tried. I just can't do it. Practice makes perfect. Now keep practicing this process of preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness and going out to meet the conditioned souls. And there'll be so many rejections. And like I was reading a story the other day by Vijay Prabhu, he was saying he was in Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. And he said, some devotees don't go there, it's a tough place. Bhrigupati Prabhu doesn't go there. Another devotee said, no, you're lucky if you do 3 or 4 books in a day there. And Vijay was there and he was experiencing it was tough, but then he started to change his mood, and even all the people who were rejecting him, he was saying, no, thank you for your time. Nice to meet you. Have a nice day. And then as the day wore on, lots of people started to just take the books. So Krishna works in mysterious ways. And even though you do get so many rejections when you go out and preach, it's very purifying, it's very humbling. It smashes your false ego. And you have to be, and you're forced to be humble, and forced to be patient and tolerant. But then all of a sudden, you know, you start thinking, wow, I'm not praying enough. I've really got to pray to Krishna and Guru to help engage these conditioned souls. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Krishna sends this person along and they're completely interested in this. I've just been searching for this. Just the last few days, I've been really thinking about this. Yeah, I'll take the books. And it's just, it's just amazing. One time I was here in Melbourne and I was with Dhruva Prabhu from Brisbane, And we were going to Geelong for the day, and he went earlier, and I had to do some things, and I came later in the day, and I didn't get there till like 3 o'clock, and I was thinking there's not much time left, but I'll do what I can. No, by Krishna's mercy, see what happens. And I thought, well, I was just doing some shops, wholesaling books in shops, selling books shop to shop. I went to this bookshop, and the man owning the shop, he was like really interested, and he said, well, I'll take two of whatever you've got. And it, you know, came to like $2,000. It was just, I couldn't work out how it happened, or, you know. So it was, just Krishna can make amazing things like that happen. Another time I was, met this Christian lady. Well, I was showing the Bhagavad Gita, and she said, well, I'm sorry, I don't think I can take the book, I'm a Christian. And I said, well, okay, well, just maybe give a donation. Would you like to give a donation? She said, okay, and open a purse and hit $100, there you go. I said, well, I think you should take the book. So she took it. There was another lady, she bought a Bhagavad Gita, gave like a big donation, and she said, you know why I'm taking this book? And I said, no. And she said, I'm a Christian, I don't want anyone else to get this book. And a couple of years ago I went travelling out west of Moolumbara, where the farm is. I went right out west, like 1,000 kilometres out west, and there was tiny little towns, and there was hardly anyone on the streets. So I thought I'd just do shop to shop, and you know, I was doing a bit of a Harinam around the streets just to try and attract people's attention, and I came across this little supermarket in a tiny little town, just 1,000 people, 2,000 people. It was an IGA supermarket, and it was full of Indians working in the supermarket out in the middle of the desert. You never hardly see any Indian people out there, but they were running the supermarket. And they four of them gave like $100, and they bought a whole stack of books. So you just don't know. You go to these even remote places, and there's people out there waiting for Srila Prabhupada's books. Another town, I was going around and doing the Harinam, went past the butcher shop, and the butchers came out and said, wait, mate, you're not going anywhere. You come inside and chant inside this butcher shop. So I was chanting and dancing inside the butcher shop. They opened the freezer, chant in there. dead carcasses. And they were like, they said, you've got to keep going, we're videoing you. I had to do it for like 3 or 4 minutes. And then they bought a whole lot of books. One time I took a Indian boy, Bharat, from Sydney. We're going shop to shop, and then we came to the butcher shop, and as soon as we walked in the shop, he turned around and said, I'm not going in there. I said, come on, even the butchers buy books. And I walked up to the counter, and sure enough, the butcher, he bought a book. I said, just see, Bharat. One time I was out near the BBT, and this man ran out of the butcher shop. He saw that I've got the van, it says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy on the side of the van. And he ran out of the butcher shop and said, hey mate, have you got any of those vegetarian cookbooks? He bought a couple of Korma's cookbooks. So it's actually, years ago in Sydney, we were doing the Janmashtami festival. We did one at the temple, and we did one like in a showground out in a suburb. And we were advertising for the Janmashtami by putting up flyers in all the shops. And we had this beautiful poster of Krishna, baby Krishna, like eating the butter and yogurt. And we go shop to shop, and the most favourable shop for accepting the poster were the butcher shops. Every time, the butcher without fail. A lot of shops, they wouldn't allow us to put it in their window, but the butchers always allow us to put it in their window. So somehow the butchers, and they have some special mercy, even though they're doing the most horrible activity. So these transcendental literatures, the pastimes of Krishna, very powerful. We just have to try and immerse ourselves in constantly hearing and chanting the holy name and the pastimes of Krishna, and give this to others. Janma karma cha me divyam, evam yo veti tatvata, chakvadeham puna janma, naiti mam eti sojanam. One who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities does not, upon leaving this material body at the time of death, take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode. I was just reading the story of of Trinavata, and Srila Prabhupada in the first couple of paragraphs of that story, he was emphasizing the importance and the power of hearing. If we just hear these transcendental pastimes, we can be elevated to the topmost platform of Krishna consciousness. And he was stating that even the conditioned souls, they can be elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness by hearing, by regular hearing these pastimes. And he quoted that Lord Chaitanya said the same thing about the holy name. By hearing the holy name, the conditioned souls can be elevated to the topmost platform. So nice, just hearing constantly the holy name and hearing the pastimes of Krishna, like that story, Trinavata. Mother Yashoda, she was arranging for Krishna's first birthday with Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men and cowherd ladies. And she was arranging so many cows and grains to offer to the brahmanas in charity. And she had to receive so many gifts for the birthday ceremony. And she became a little inattentive because she was concentrating so much on meeting all the guests that she forgot to feed Krishna milk. And Krishna, he became very angry and started to cry. And he was underneath the cart. And he kicked his legs and simply the cart smashed apart. And all the different utensils on the cart went everywhere. And as we know, there was actually a demon in that cart, Sakatasura. And he was killed because Krishna simply kicked the cart and the cart smashed to pieces. He lost his life. So Krishna, even as a little baby, he's killing the demons. And then later on the day, Mother Yashoda, she was nursing and feeding Krishna milk. But then Krishna, all of a sudden, he became very, very heavy. And she just had to put Krishna down. And then when she put him down, Trinavata, sent by Kamsa, he came and grabbed Krishna and flew up in the sky, and he created a dust storm so that none of the residents of Vrindavan could see Krishna, could see anything. And they couldn't see where Krishna was. And Mother Yashoda and all the residents were crying very much because Krishna disappeared. And then Trinavata was taking Krishna away, planning to kill Krishna. But then all of a sudden, Krishna became very, very heavy, like a mountain. And he was just clinging onto Trinavada's throat. And then Trinavada was too heavy. He was forced to just fall to the ground. And he fell on a stone slab and he lost his life just like that. Then Krishna was playing on the body of Trinavada very happily. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they were amazed that just a little child was killed, this huge, huge demon. And now he was very happily just playing on the body of Trinavata. So these pastimes are very very sweet and very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada said, very beautiful and at the same time very spiritually purifying and elevating. So as much as possible, we should regularly hear these pastimes, hear this philosophy, hear the holy name, chant the holy name, and spread this Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the whole world. Does anyone have any questions, comments?
What did the butcher want the ear for?
Oh, just for their own interest. And obviously they would like to show it to their friends that Hare Krishna coming to their town. They'd never seen Hare Krishna in their town before, probably. And it's quite a unique experience for them, I guess. Yeah, I mean, in those little towns, nothing very much happens, you know. It's quite boring. So something out of the ordinary is quite exciting for them. You had a question over there? Up the back? Yes.
Can the nectar of Krishna be reciprocated with people who do not chant the single holy names and have love for Krishna?
Yeah. Well, that's what we do. That's what this movement's all about, is reciprocating this message and mercy with people who have had no contact before, never chanted the holy names for millions of lifetimes, never.
So it's like a devotee that's in Krishna consciousness, does not chant, but he sings the holy names and has love for Krishna. Can he still go back to Godhead?
Yeah. Well, eventually, even if people aren't chanting their rounds on their beads, even if they just come to the temple and take darshan and maybe they sing a few bhajans or they join in the kirtan, even if they do a little bit of service, even if they're not regularly practicing all the sadhana that we're doing here, they can be very much benefited and purified and get more and more opportunities to do more service and elevated to a higher and higher platform of Krishna consciousness. It's very powerful, even that. Even once hearing the holy name can free one from more sins than one can commit in millions of lifetimes. Or Prabhupada said, even if people touch these books or read one word or one line, their life is perfected. They will get another chance to read a little bit more. Or they'll read one line and they'll find it so amazing, they just have to keep reading, they can't put the book down. And Prabhupada said, these books are like time bombs. They're ticking away, purifying the consciousness of the person in their house. And one day people, you know, even though they may have bought the books years ago, suddenly they think, hey, what was that book all about? They pick it up and they start reading and they find a very amazing wisdom. The truth is very, very much prevalent and very easy to see the absolute truth is if one is very sincere. One can actually understand, yes, this is the truth I'm looking for. These are the answers I'm looking for. This is the real knowledge and philosophy. So as Krishna says in the Nihibrakama Nasasti Pachavana Vijate, that even a little bit of advancement on this path can save one from the greatest danger, falling back down to the lowest species of life. So even the souls out there who are not even coming to the temple, we're taking the temple out to them in the form of the books and the holy name and prasadam. We can't estimate the wonderful benefit they're getting. And Krishna will make more and more arrangements for them to meet devotees again and again and get more chance to serve Krishna. They're unknowingly a Gyata Sukriti performing devotional service. And many times they perform it in a favorable mood. They're very appreciative of devotees coming out and giving out books or giving prasadam or hearing the holy name. So they're doing service without knowing it in a favorable mentality. So Krishna really is very pleased with that, and then he'll bestow unlimited mercy upon them. Someone else? Yes.
Could you share some more experiences on book distribution? Because they're inspiring for everyone and give us the confidence we can also do.
Yeah, many. He said, can you share more experiences about your preaching, Krishna consciousness, doing book distribution? Yeah, there's many experiences are there, many different stories. I remember one time when I first got married and I had first child, first daughter, and sometimes I was going out with my daughter, like strapped in a backpack, you know, she was a little baby, and it was very, very sweet, you know, taking the baby out there and thinking, you know, you can go out as a greenhouse to take your little child out with you. And it was actually touching people. They were very touched by seeing that I had my little baby with me, and she was so cute, and they'd look and say, oh, so cute, and it was like attracting people, you know. It made it easier for them to like relate with the books and stand and listen. And people were buying the books. So that was one very nice experience. And sometimes we'd travel together with the family, and especially when we had just one child, and it's a little more difficult now with three children, but with one child we'd go out and we'd do Harinam together with my wife, and we'd have the baby in the pram. We'd be pushing the pram along. We'd do a Harinam first and then books after that, in different towns. And Krishna River would play the mridanga, and I'd play the cartels, and I'd be pushing the pram like with my nudging the pram along the street like that, playing the cartels. And yeah, people were like, they thought it was very sweet. And then, we stopped some people as they came past with the Harinam, distributed books, and it was very, very nice. I remember going out just the other day, you had 24-hour kirtan for Indra's disappearance day, right? Disappearance day? Yeah. So I remember we were in one town up in North Queensland, Harvey Bay, and we went out on Indra's disappearance day, did Harinam, and it was very nice that we were thinking we were representing Indra out there, you know, doing the Harinam in these small way out towns, you know, distributing the books, distributing the mercy. so many experiences there, I can't recall just admittedly all different experiences, but I mean, there's many stories you can read on Vijay Prabhu's website, many different stories. I put some stories in there. I haven't put any stories in for a while, but I probably should. But many different devotees have wonderful experiences, and it's very inspiring, as you say, to hear these stories. In recent years, we've been going up to North Queensland. People are very favourable up there, and we can see that a lot of them become very favourable because there's massive prasadam distribution up there also. Krishna Gan from New Govardhan, he does catering at all the different music festivals for many, many years. So the people, when they meet us, they just say, oh, you know, have you got a restaurant here now in this town? Are you going to start a restaurant? We go to your festivals all the time. And they quite easily, you know, take the books, and they like to come to programs. And even, in some of the backpackers there, we do a little program in the backpackers, do a kirtan, put on a feast for people in the backpackers. And some of these people, you know, they come from North Queensland after meeting us in the backpackers, they come and join the farm and become a woofer and start coming to the temple. I was in one town recently just near the farm, Nimbin. It's a famous town, but famous for not the right reasons. It's famous for dope smoking, marijuana. It's like the capital of marijuana smoking in Australia. Just a little town, but they're like selling marijuana on the street. And even the police are there walking through all day long, but they seem to turn a blind eye on it. But a lot of people there, they're very favourable. They've had a lot of contact with the movement, even though a lot of them caught up in this marijuana smoking, and they have this festival called Mardi Gras, the gay festival, but Mardi Gras. Every year, and the devotees go there and distribute prasadam. And they're all smoking marijuana, but the people there, they've had a lot of contact, and they love prasadam, they love the Harinam, and many of them, you know, they easily take books. So there's many amazing little places, nooks and corners around the country where we can go. Not that we should just think, oh, I have to go downtown Melbourne every day after day. Even in Melbourne, you can go to so many different suburbs, shops, houses, and you meet all sorts of people from different walks of life. And many of them had, even in the way out places, have had contact with Krishna consciousness. One time I was in a little place called Broken Hill. It's like way out there. It's a mining town. And I was on the street stopping a person, showing the books and asking for donation. This old man who was about 80 years old, just like hardly walking along the street. And he said, did you say Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He said, I used to go to your Food for Life in Melbourne and Sydney. And now I'm out here. Yes, I'll take a book and give a donation. Anyone else like to share any experiences? Anyone else have a question? If there's no one else, we can take your question again. Okay, you have a last question. Yes? Wow. People try to avoid prasadam. I think that's pretty rare. I don't meet too many people who won't take prasadam, but you know, some people do. But yes, a lot of people do try and reject the books. So you're asking, what can we do? Well, you can give them the holy name, even if you're out there trying to distribute books of Prasadam and they don't take, you can say thank you for your time and have a nice day, Hare Krishna to you, like that. And you can try and encourage them to chant also. Do you know the magic words? And they go, no, Hare Krishna. And they go, oh, Hare Krishna. Like that. So, and the holy name is, everyone can get the benefit of the holy name. Like when we go out in Harinam Sangatan, many people don't take the books, don't take Prasadam, but everyone's forced to hear the holy name when we go out with the holy Harinam Sangatan. So that's also a very important activity, as much as possible. The whole movement was built up through massive Harinam Sangatan and massive book distribution, massive Prasadam distribution. These things have very great potency, so we should increase them more and more as much as possible. Like, you know, we have these wonderful programs, 24-hour kirtans, 12-hour kirtans in the temple. Same time, we should try and do 6-hour, 12-hour, 24 on the street. Do both things together. I remember hearing in the early days in New York, the devotees was sometimes they do like, you know, 24 or 72-hour, you know, marathons, like all through the day, all through the night, do different shifts, devotees doing different shifts of books and Harinam and Prasadam, like that. It's very, very sweet. Okay, so there's nothing else. Finished there? Shri Bhagavatam ki. Shri Bhagavatam ki. Shri Bhagavatam ki.